Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday. How has this insecurity affected your life? So the assignment originally was, what are you most insecure about? And then how has this insecurity affected your life?
Mm-hmm.
So here is our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. It's Jodine.
Good morning, Jodine.
Hi. And I'm calling from New Mexico instead of California for a change.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't want to lose track of the retreat. And so I found these last two really interesting. There's this karmic cycle that I seem to go through relating to this, and how I've kind of pieced it together is that the insecurity that I feel like most acutely is that I'm not safe. However, that was buried. It took me a couple of retreats to kind of get down to, like, what's the bottom fear. And what I've seen about it is that it seems to be the kind of fear that, like, a very young child would feel, like, lost in the mall or something.
Uh-huh.
The people who are supposed to take care of me are not here, or they're checked out, or nobody is taking care of my needs, and I'm not adequate to that.
Uh-huh. You're not old enough. You're not big enough.
Yeah, like I can't do that. Like, you know, I don't even know about security guards. You know, like. I'm just like hiding under, you know, a clothes rack.
Mm-hmm.
Or something. I mean, like, that never happened to me, but that's kind of the energy of it.
That you know of.
It never happened to me that I know of. Yeah.
Yeah. I just think that's an important piece of it for us all to remember all the time. The fact that we don't have a conscious memory of something from a lifetime doesn't mean that nothing like that ever happened.
Yeah. Yes.
I've
actually arrived at that kind of, you know, I don't really know
mm-hmm.
because I feel this fear, you know, I feel this, and it doesn't seem to be connected to an experience.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes, you know, but anyway,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I could point to experiences growing up where my needs were not being met and the adults were checked out and whatever, you know, but in terms of the effect on my later life, I've come to suspect that, that I have an issue when I feel secure.
You have an issue when you feel secure?
Yeah, so like the fear is about being safe. And when I'm safe or seem to be safe on like lots of different levels, you know, the karma kicks in and basically starts ruining things so that I will not be safe anymore.
Yes, that is a powerful, powerful insight that I hope everyone listening will get. Well, that is true for me too. How does that show up in my life? Because that you have identified a process
that is operating all the time under the level of conscious awareness, I would bet with every human being. Every human being with the capacity to experience these kinds of things.
On a process level, you mean, like whatever your content is?
On a process level.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That when the process is when the process is not being experienced, the process in your case of insecurity, anxiety about not being safe, as
yeah.
soon as that goes away, egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate kicks in to set up the circumstances that will put a person back in the grip of that karma. So in your case, things
yeah.
start getting ruined, and suddenly you're anxious and insecure because you feel unsafe, because things are not going in a way that sustains you.
Yeah, and well, where I go with it eventually is to extreme depression. Luckily,
yes.
not lately, but I get to the point where I'm not taking care of my needs.
Yes, exactly.
Like, I can't. And the, or whatever, there's the, that's the story, you know, and the,
well, if I may, Jonine, because that's another huge piece of it. What happens to us is that in the grip of that identification, we are in the state that bears out the story. So the feeling, the original feeling is of being abandoned. There's nobody there for you, and you're in danger.
Yeah.
And then you see your way out of that, and you become the person who we could say the centered person. Let's just go with that. Who is here? Who is fine? Who's not insecure? Who understands how things work? It's fine. You're capable. You're competent. You can be trusted. You're in good hands. Here comes karma, with all of the circumstances that are going to return you to a small child who is frightened and insecure and anxious and incapable of taking care of herself.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
proves that the karma is real, that the story is true, because see, here it is again. Here it is. And no matter what I do, I wind up in this same place. Therefore, this must be the original state, my original state, and when I move into those places of center and capable competence, well, that's an illusion of some kind, because I certainly can't stay there, because what's really true about me and my life is...
Thank you for that, Sherry. Yeah, exactly like you were talking about undulation in our practice for a while, that, just going back and forth between those two states and... Yes. Then the other one doesn't seem real. You know, whatever end yes. I'm on, looking at
yes.
the other one, it doesn't seem real. It's like, how
yes.
could I have gotten that degree? How could I have worked at that job? Like, oh, my God.
Yes.
But, you know, like, I didn't do that. Like, and then, yeah, and so, and then when I do feel okay, you know, it swings the other way, and there's that sense of like, oh, thank God.
Right.
know,
That's
everything's
behind
okay.
me.
Yeah,
yes.
and then I look back and it's like, oh my gosh, you know, like that person was just stuck in a dark place with an evil, you know,
yes.
somebody taken over.
Yes, exactly. All right. Well, you're gonna listen to this again, right? And you're gonna chart
this. I am,
this.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're gonna chart this. Lots of recordings, because the seeing that the swing that we've just talked about is everything. And again, I'm hoping
yeah.
that everybody on this call takes it to heart, because that's happening with everybody. So we can just plug in our karma and our story and know that that progression, that process is happening with everybody. So thank you very much.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care, Jordine. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jordine. It's the little note that we have on the sandwich board in the dining hall at the monastery. Karma is the incessant push to what we think we deserve.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. And that wonderful way of recognizing how the process operates to maintain itself.
Yes. Yes.
And knowing that, it was just marvelous how Jordine laid it out, that there is that experience of fear that gets created at some point in our lives, and then that experience or that sensation is maintained by that karmic
story.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And if I'm not feeling that way, the story plays, so I end up feeling that way in order to be identified with that which I am.
Yes.
Right? It's a reinforcing mechanism.
And I'm not going to get too carried away with this because I know it's not the point of what we're doing, and hopefully there will be more times to have this conversation. But I've been in a lot of conversations recently with people in which a process very much like this, parallel to this, possibly a variation on this, is happening. And this is the way it goes, because I was just talking with someone who somebody close to them just committed suicide. And there is a lot of that happening. For anybody who hasn't been aware of that, there's a lot of that happening. Maybe there always is. And it just becomes more obvious at certain times. But the process that those people are going through that take them to that decision is the very same process that we are all in. And it is a process that is designed to get people to choose ego, to choose karma, by quitting whatever it is that will take them beyond ego.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the process. And whether you're leaving a relationship or you're leaving a job or you're leaving life, it's the same process. And where people can see it most clearly and least threateningly, if they want to, is in practice. People get to a certain point, they're getting ready to get on the other side of ego, and they stop practicing. Okay, that's my rant for the morning. Who's next?
Well, it's really that it's. I think what you're pointing at, right, Sherry, is that ego wants to survive at any cost.
Any cost.
The human is sacrificed.
That's right. It's sacrificing us, not a problem for ego. It does it all the time, and it will demand the ultimate sacrifice if we're not careful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, all right. Two huge processes this morning that I hope people will take down. You know, do a little process. Do whatever. Make lots of recordings. Whatever it is that keeps it in the front of conscious awareness, and then begin to see how those processes are playing out in your life, because they're big.
They are.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Are you unmuting? Are you there?
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hey, there you are. I knew you were there.
I accidentally took myself off speakerphone instead of unmuting.
So you were talking away and couldn't, and why isn't anybody responding to me?
Well, and it was so helpful that you were saying, are you unmuting? I went, right, mute, unmute. This is Margaret in Menlo Park.
Hey, Margaret.
Hey, Gosh, that has been an amazing conversation so far this morning. And it feels like it's exactly what I was looking at around, you know, this how has insecurity affected your life? And what I was seeing feels very similar to that karmic process that was just being described. It's this thing of having to be so prepared, so good, so nice, etc., that these people, whoever, will love me, and then there won't be any judgment and blame and suffering. And what I first saw about that was how how much that requires projecting that out onto the world, you know, by the conditioning, projecting that at first. That's where I am in that process. And so that's how I see things, and that's why I have to be so good. That's the belief, and it just maintains it. And I'm stuck in that when I'm believing that that's me, that that voice, that huge distracting conversation about that. But it feels like preparation, you know, to go somewhere, to do something, has been a huge opportunity for me to look at this in my life for that, you know, those things.
Well, and you can see how easily karmic conditioning can do to you what we were just talking about with Jodine, right? Because somebody just needs to raise an eyebrow, and there you are. Well, see, they don't approve of you. You didn't do it right. You're not okay.
And the story
is true.
Might as well just lash out at them.
And the whole karma is true. Is it? No. Not a bit of it. Not from the very beginning, all the way through the story. None of it is true. But
And I'm so glad I got to this place of, you know, yesterday and then the last couple of days of just seeing the world as friendly and using all the tools we have to do that, to just really feel that whole goodness that's serious, real, I don't know what to call it, suchness maybe, of life in energy, life force in all things. And
to realize that the only thing making life unfriendly is the same system torturing us.
Yeah.
That's all. Ego is actually the only unfriendly thing. But what it's doing is so extensive that it seems like it's the whole world.
It really does. It can feel like it's, you know, the whole grid of life around me that I'm in is all of it, is that, rather than the other way. It's just so... So it's just been so helpful having, you know, somebody was talking about yesterday about building our confidence in recovering from identification. I think that was a Schwinney, and that's so helpful.
So, you know, Margaret, the thing that occurs to me with what you're describing is that it's kind of a miracle that all we need do in order to prove what the source of the difficulty is to stop the conversation for even a moment, right? The conversation in our head stops, and we realize all hostility, all unfriendliness, all unhappiness, all of it falls away. It just doesn't exist.
Yeah. No need for armor. It's just gone. There's nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then from that place, if there's a way that you can assist, support, help, contribute, participate, it's available, because that conversation of what's wrong is not between us and whatever it is that we could support.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and I'm so grateful, I guess, to have in those moments that you just described of it all falling away, of having, you know, just nature around me, trees, you know, birds, other,
all that
aliveness.
Obvious goodness.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And this practice.
Right. Yes, and this practice, yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Margaret. That was a good next little step in our progression here today. So thank you for that.
Thank you. All right.
Thank you, Margaret.
Go happy.
Trey, I'm going to bring on our next caller since I got bumped off the call. So here we go.
You don't even know what we were talking about. Doggone it. Well, you can listen back.
I know.
Okay?
It sounded really good. I will. Thank you.
All right.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Anna from San Carlos, California.
Hello, Anna.
Hi. Wow, it's so fun to get on. It's just like a big smile all of a sudden. It's just so exciting.
I can hear that smile in your voice.
Yeah. So, you know, as I was considering this question, my son is talking in the background. Sorry about that. Amos, I'm on the phone. One second. The thing that I was noticing is just that it seems like, for me, one of the big things is safety and being safe. That's sort of one of the karmic things. And I think, you know, it's like it's dominated so many of my life choices in a sort of undercurrent way of, like, you know, the amount of education I got or where I live, you know, just all that kind of stuff. And it's one of the things that brought me to practice, because I think at some point I realized that all the messing around with the content isn't actually going to keep me to feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so,
with some more practice, I project, you've gotten to, oh, actually, that's what makes me feel unsafe.
Exactly. Exactly. The whole focus on safety is the thing that actually makes me feel unsafe. Totally.
Right.
Right. It's like the world of opposites, right? The exact thing that that makes me think that, and so I just, the way I see it is just like a ever, like, closing spiral into just alone in a room with the door closed kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And, so that was what I was looking at. And I think, you know, now it's like I've definitely made some choices that I feel like are kind of freedom choices, choices that in the past I would not have been able to make. And and so now it seems like the way insecurity kind of plays out for me is it's like I flip into it. I think it's how it was described before. It's like I don't live in it. I spend time there.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Uh-huh. You visit.
I visit. I do. but I don't live there.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel like home the same way it did before. In some way, it feels like dissonant.
Yes. It's uncomfortable. You're aware that it's uncomfortable.
Yeah, and, I am. What
we get to see in that, Anna, is that before, ego was comfortable, and you were identified with ego. So living in that world of fear didn't jar you.
Yeah.
It was just how you lived. Now you don't live there. And so when you visit that place, ego is comfortable there, but you're not, because you no longer live there.
Yeah. And it's like I've had enough experiences of freedom that even when I'm in that place of feeling really, like fearful, I need to protect myself and, you know, whatever, it's like I know in some level that there's a practice that I can do, and, you know, I just need to do it.
Right.
I may not want to do it right then. It may take me a little while, but I know that there's something else available.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And what that comes down to is you need to redirect your attention.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, I love these questions. I feel like it really just, every one of them just goes to the heart of the matter. So.
I want to say one other thing, Anna, before I let you go. And that is about old Amos there. It sounds like you two are in a park or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. I sort of go on a walk in the morning so I can listen to the show.
Yeah. And so in watching him, he does not experience himself as separate from life.
No, he doesn't. Yeah.
And so he has no fear.
Yeah.
Now, the interesting thing about that, of course, is you're super attached to him. And so you are fearful about him because if something happened to him, it would be devastating for you. But it's just, I think it's really important for us to take in terms of how life works, that he is not having that experience.
Yeah.
He is simply alive. He doesn't know anything about death. He doesn't know about danger. He hasn't learned any of that stuff. And if he were to die in the next moment, it would not be that different for him because he's not separate from life.
Yeah.
Okay?
I
it's just, I think, a helpful perspective, especially for us parents to have.
I think so. I mean, it's really inspirational, actually, just to see him move around in the world and, you know, choose things. And there's no, like, oh, what about this? I mean, maybe I'd be happier with it. It's just whatever. I want watermelon, you know.
Yeah. So we want to learn from that level of non-separate experience of life manifesting.
Yeah.
That's our... That's our potential.
Yeah,
that's what we're working
towards.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's you know, it's tricky, right? Because the other day he like just ran off, you know, and I was like, you know, I had to like couldn't find him for a second, and it's just that feeling of you're like, oh my gosh, I just lost my kid.
Right.
But you know, found him, he was fine. And just like ego sort of going through all the things that could have happened or whatever. And it's none of it happened. None of it happened.
Right.
He's right here. I'm right here.
Yeah.
He's just flying somewhere else.
So
it's just, it really is a good practice. And the other thing I want to say is, so I listen to the show, you know, almost every day. And sometimes I listen in the car, just wherever, however I can do it. And so he hears the show a lot. And so the other day he like picked up a block. He was pretending it was a phone and he was like, hello, Sherry. Like, how are you doing? And it was like really funny. He's like, I'm like talking on the radio show. So it was just,
That is great.
It's great. He's all
it.
2 years old. It's just, I feel really grateful that we have the show and that I am so, you know, able to listen to it and have it going in the, you know, maybe his background. I'm not sure how much he's actually able to follow, but it's just that it's, you know, on some level, I feel really good about being able to share that with him.
At least practice is a part of his life growing up. It's a normal part of life.
Yeah.
So
this is
very good.
Yeah. Just like, when he says egocentric, karmic conditioning, self-hate, I'm going to be like, whoa. But yeah, so it's fun.
All right. Yeah. Thanks, Anna.
Bye.
You too.
Thank
have
you.
Fun.
Thank
okay,
you. Bye-bye. Bye.
That is so much fun, Sherry. Whole generation that's learning to say hello, Sherry. Go happy and treasure yourself.
Right.
Anna was pointing to is so important for us to get that part of doing awareness practice. I mean, awareness practice is to become aware of the cycles of awakening, right? The attributes of karma, and to be to bring conscious awareness to the process that the attention is on and how it feels. So awareness expands to know what an identification feels like, what that karmic pull feels like, what it feels like to be here, and then mm-hmm. be able to direct the attention between those processes. And so there's such freedom in knowing that there's not something wrong with me because I'm having this experience over and over again, but simply that this experience is a signal of where I am, and there's the ability to redirect to another process.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's
huge. Like it's just cycles. When you identify, you know how to disidentify. When you go through the dark night of the soul, it's just part of a place where a deep surrender of ego is being required in a way that I wouldn't do it. You know, you just that's what practice builds. It's muscles of pattern recognition.
Yes. Yes. Yes, exactly. And when karma falls away, it falls away. When the time comes, it dissolves. And that's what we're doing, is constantly making the choices that take us through these levels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And transitions, when karma falls away, and it's what Jolene was pointing out, there is a certain lack of identity, a lack of self-reference. It feels a certain mm-hmm. way, and we know what that feels like.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something wrong. And then when karma asserts itself in order to rebuild itself, we know that's a pattern, and we know how that feels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is very fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. As soon as we step free of, there's something wrong.
Yeah.
And it just gets interesting, doesn't it?
Yes, it completely does. Mm-hmm. And that brings us to the end of the show, Sherry. So it's Friday, and our assignment for today is, what makes you feel secure?
Oh, long time coming, huh? All right, and then we have two more after that. And then if all goes as we hope, we'll be back together again on Monday.
That we will. All right. Thank you, Sherry. Take care.
Thank you, Ashwini. Treasure yourself. Everybody, treasure yourselves. Have a lovely time. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.